seems to be typical and traditional in the church that there's a couple Sundays out of the year that we esteem greater than others, and Christmas being one of those Sundays and Easter being the other. And of course, God really dealt with me and really challenged me as I was doing some soul searching and really seeking in my personal life and ministry things that I thought were missing. And God really dealt with me about one of the things that is overlooked nowadays in modern Christianity. And it's the Sunday that makes it all possible. And that's what today is. It's Pentecost Sunday. That there's an overemphasis placed on Christmas and Easter, and no emphasis at all placed on Pentecost. And Christmas and Easter were all for a purpose, to lead to Pentecost. Amen. And it's almost as though, as I was praying and asking and seeking the Lord, why are we not experiencing any power in our churches today? It was almost as though the Holy Spirit said, because you don't know anything about Pentecost. There needs to be an emphasis put back on Pentecost, because Pentecost is truly what makes the church the church. So I have a video. Nate, now I want you to play the volume real loud. So crank that thing up and plug your ears if it's too loud for you. But I want you to hear what's happening. So,
John, wake up, all of you. Wake.
Hey, hold on. Stop.
Come.
We're gonna
what
stop
are we doing?
That. We're going to try this a different method. I'm gonna play it through a different player, because that's gonna make me go blind, all that flashing. That's like an LSD flashback right there. We don't want that. Get the lights if you would, and I'm gonna just bear with me and be patient. I want you.
John, wake up, all of you. Wake. Come.
What are we doing?
We're praying.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Now we can leave this place. Now spread his word.
Opening your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1 to get started. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Everybody say command.
Command.
Dude, how many of you think if Jesus gave us a command, we should pay attention to what he's about to say?
Yeah.
On one occasion, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Everybody say gift.
Yeah.
The gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you that you have given us a baptism that sets us apart from everybody else. You have given us a baptism much greater than the baptism of John. You have given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. God, open our hearts and open our minds to understand the power and the purpose of Pentecost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. The title of today's message, Pentecost Sunday 2017, is Enter the New Kingdom Through the Door of Pentecost. How many of you know that God has called us into a new kingdom?
Amen.
Glory to God. Until God called your name, you were part of a kingdom, but it was a worthless kingdom. It was a dead kingdom. It was a kingdom that oppressed you. It was a kingdom that held you down. It was called the kingdom of darkness. You were under the control and the treachery of darkness. But God has called us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. But the way that we enter into this new kingdom is through the door of Pentecost. Let's get started. Nate, would you help me out back there? I don't know if my... We need to go on remote status or what there. But anyway, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, somebody shout out, suddenly. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, we do a very good job about preaching the resurrection. We do a fabulous job in churches nowadays about on Easter Sunday sharing and talking and preaching about what resurrection is and what resurrection offers to us. We emphasize it. We go through all types of planning and preparation and strategizing to prepare a service that will be a grand slam home run so that people can understand the importance of resurrection. And we need to do that. How many of you know? Resurrection is part of this. We also go to great lengths to talk about new birth and to talk about new creations and to talk about new beginnings. And those things are emphasized on a regular basis. They're talked about, they're preached about from Sunday to Sunday, all throughout this country and all throughout this earth. But the message that is forgotten, the message many times that is never even preached, the message that is overlooked is the message that makes all of this possible. The message that is not preached, the message that is not talked about, the message that is not emphasized, the message that is not really clearly presented to people is the message that takes resurrection and makes it something powerful in our lives. You know, I know a lot of people who go to church on Easter Sunday and hear powerful sermons of the resurrection preached and leave just as dead and just as bound and just as tormented as when they came. Why? Because there's a missing message. There's a message that will change it all, and it's the message of Pentecost. Amen. It's what Pentecost brings, the power of the message, and what happens when the Holy Spirit comes, what happens when a person's baptized in the Holy Spirit, it changes all of these things, and it truly elevates us to where we understand resurrection and the power to be resurrected. We understand what new creation is and the power then that comes to be a new creation. How many of you know that you can preach about new creation, but if there's no power in a person's life to enable them to be a new creation, then they're going to be a whole lot like they were before. But how many of you are ready to be a new creation? You know, the gospel didn't end with the cross. I'm going to say it again. The gospel didn't end on Golgotha's hill. The gospel didn't end as the stone was rolled away and Jesus exited the tomb. That's the gospel that we preached, but truly that's just the opening of the gospel. That was the opening of the door to the gospel that Jesus truly came to preach. Glory to God. Jesus' gospel was more than I'm going to live, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. The rest of his gospel was, I'm going to ascend. I'm going to go to my Father from on high so that you can receive another comforter. That word another means one like the first. Glory to God. The 12 disciples had Jesus, but we get one just like Jesus. And we don't get him only when he's around us. We get him every day, everywhere we go, because he lives in us. We have some, listen, Jesus said, it is better for you. It is to your advantage if I go away. That seems absurd. I don't know that there's any statement that would make a person question Jesus' sanity more than that one. How could it be better for us that Jesus go away? Because he was going to send us another one just like him, who would indwell us, who would fill us, who would be everywhere all the time, who can move in all of our lives equally, who can touch people even when they're not present. You understand, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a ministry equal to Jesus's. How many of you would long to have Jesus walking with you and living with you and eating with you and sleeping with you and teaching you the way he taught the disciples? Lift your hand if you say, I'd love to have that. Did you know that you have something better than that? No, that's not me hyping this up. Jesus said, it's to your advantage. It is better for you that I go. We have a better ministry. It is a better covenant. It is a better connection than what the disciples have. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Glory to God. The message that makes all of this possible, the message that makes resurrection possible and new beginnings and new birth possible, is the message of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, on one occasion, he gave them this command while he was eating with them. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised. This begins to really show what the gospel was that Jesus was preaching. The gospel that Jesus was preaching, what Jesus really wanted to offer, was so much more than just his sacrifice on the cross. I want to say that again. And I know to some people it's almost sacrilegious to hear people say that. But what Jesus wanted to give the church was so much more than the work of the cross. Because there was something that came after the cross. There was something that came after the tomb. There was something that came after this day. And it was the gift that the Father had promised from the very beginning that would change everything. Jesus said, look, you've heard me speak about this gift. In other words, I've been preaching to you for 3.5 years. I've been teaching you and instructing you. And over the course of these last 60 to 90 days, there has been a strong, strong emphasis placed on this gift. And now the day is quickly approaching where that gift is going to be released. Because I go to the Father. And when I go to the Father will send the Comforter. And the Comforter, when he comes, he will take from that which is mine, and he will make it known unto you. He will testify what he hears from the Father, and all of those things that I long to share with you, but you were not able to bear. Now he will be able to take them, and he will be able to reveal them. He will be able to make them known unto you. Glory to God. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, there was more that God had in mind than the cross. Notice how the scripture words that, when the day of Pentecost came. You know, I truly believe that in eternity, God was waiting for this day with greater anticipation than any other day that he had waited for at this particular time. You know, we think about the anticipation in heaven, and there must have been some anticipation in heaven as Jesus hung on the cross, as the Father turned his head, turned his face away from the Son, as the Son hung on the cross, rather, breathing his last breath. There must have been some anticipation in heaven. There must have been even more anticipation in heaven when Jesus died and was carried to the pangs of hell, according to the scripture. For 3 days, anticipation was stirring in heaven. How many of you think that it was getting pretty, there was an excitement. There was something that was about to happen. And heaven knew it, even though man didn't know it. Even though the earth did not quite understand what was happening, heaven did. Heaven fully understood what was taking place as Jesus hung there. Heaven fully understood what was taking place when they mocked him, when they scourged him. Heaven knew what was taking place when they tied him to the whipping post and lashed him 39 times across the back. Heaven knew what was happening in that moment. And when the soldier came by and looked at Jesus and pierced him through the side with the spear and the blood began to flow from his side, heaven knew and was anticipating something great. And Jesus died and he went to the pangs of hell. And for 3 days, there was this holy anticipation. There was this holy expectation that was being stirred in the realm of heaven. Where in this earth, Jesus said, in a little while, you'll sorrow. Didn't he say that? He said, you'll greatly sorrow, but then you will greatly rejoice. See, heaven was already rejoicing. Earth was more people, men, women, the people that walked with Jesus in his earthly ministry. They were mourning. They didn't quite know what to expect, but heaven did. And for 3 days as Jesus lay in the pit of hell, heaven, there was an anticipation stirring. There was a spirit up there that was moving, an expectation. And then when he rose from the grave, glory to God, there was a release. There was excitement in heaven. There was great rejoicing and great celebrating. But listen, anticipation was still stirring because for 40 days, Jesus walked and he talked. He walked with the apostles. He walked and he talked with his disciples. He taught them. He ate with them. He spoke to them about things to come. Probably the number one thing that he spoke to them about was the Holy Spirit. I'm guessing. I'm not building a doctrine on that. I'm just saying for 40 days, he ate with them and he spoke with them about things pertaining to the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. That's what the Bible says. And probably the greatest emphasis of all was on the ministry of the Holy Spirit at that time, leading into the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. There was this anticipation churning in heaven. The disciples really didn't know what was happening. But then Jesus ascended. And there was such a release in heaven. As the people stood there, dazed and confused. His followers had no understanding of what was really happening. Heaven knew what was happening. The men of the earth did not know. They stood there and stared up in the sky. And it's at such a standstill, at such a stupor, that God had to send an angel to them. Why stand ye here, staring? As though something strange has happened. How many of you read that verse in the Bible? How many of you read that verse? And so, as we watched in that video, they still really didn't know what was happening, but heaven was anticipating something great. They didn't really understand the disciples, the magnitude, listen to that word, the magnitude of what Jesus had promised them. Much like today, the church does not really understand the magnitude of the Holy Spirit's ministry to us. Much of the body of Christ has no understanding for the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. It is almost as though that doctrine of the church, a foundational truth of the church, has been neglected altogether. It's almost as though it's been thrown to the wayside because, you know, all that really matters is people get to heaven. That's kind of the way that the church thinks about this today, but it's not the way Jesus thought of it. It's not the way Jesus thought of it. It was so important to Jesus that he told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go out and try to do ministry. Don't go out and try to preach this gospel that I'm giving to you until you've been endued with power from on high. Glory to God. And they were in this upper chamber praying. For 10 days they were praying. They were seeking God. They didn't know what else to do, so they did what every good Christian does when they don't know what to do. They prayed. And they prayed some more. And they prayed some more. And they prayed some more. And then it happened, glory to God. The anticipation of heaven collided with the expectation of men in this earth. And there was something that changed the world. something that changed people. It was the birth of the church. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Oh, I'm telling you right now, do not sit out there and get all bah humbug to this message. We need a Pentecostal experience. I'm telling you right now, we need a Pentecostal experience. When you see what happened in Acts chapter 2, when they were all together in one place, they were all together in one place, they were praying, they were seeking God for one thing. What was it? The promise that he had made. Don't leave Jerusalem. In a few days, you're going to receive the gift that you've heard me speak of, what my Father has promised. They didn't really know what that gift would be. They didn't know how it would come. They didn't know what it would look like. They just knew that God the Father promised them a gift and that Jesus said, don't leave until you get it. They didn't understand it fully, but they understood the promise and they started to expect it. They started to pray for it. They started to desire it. And that's exactly what happened. They were in agreement praying, God, pour out this gift. God, we're ready to receive this gift. God, we earnestly seek this gift. And after 10 days of prayer, 10 days of agreeing together for God's outpouring, the Holy Spirit was released and the church was birthed and the world as we know it was changed forever. The world as we know it was changed because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. The world as we know it was radically changed, not just because of the cross, not just because of the resurrection, but because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It changed the world because it took mere men and it caused them to overcome their fear. It took mere men and it caused them to leave the crowd. It did something to men that men desperately needed. Glory to God. So there's more that God had in mind than the cross. And I want to say something. Thank God for the cross. And with all this strange gospel that's being preached nowadays, thank God that we can still preach the simple message of the cross. Now, I want to say that again. There's some strange gospel being preached nowadays. There's some strange stuff happening in the name of Jesus that he has not commissioned, that he is definitely not involved in. But in all of that, we still have a message that will save, a message that will redeem, a message that will give hope. And it's the message of the cross, which is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And the message of the cross becomes the power of God when Pentecost is preached after the cross. When you go beyond the cross to a place of beyond the cross to Pentecost. Somebody ought to write a song about that. Can somebody write a song about that for me? Beyond the cross to Pentecost. We begin to move into a place where the cross now doesn't just become a sweet story. It doesn't just become a place where the alcoholic can find hope. It becomes a place where the alcoholic can live free of alcoholism. It becomes a place where the drug addicted can live free from drug addiction. It becomes a place where the cancer patient can find a way and a means to live free from cancer, glory to God, because the power that Pentecost brought. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody shout out the power of Pentecost. Pentecost made a way. If you throw up that next slide, please. Pentecost made a way for us to be endued with power. Amen. Now, answer this question honestly but quietly. Do you believe that the church is powerless today? I will share my answer with you. For the most part, yes. For the most part, the church is powerless. And not because God is powerless, but because most of the time we are ignorant. We are ignorant of the way that God made for the power to flow. I'm going to say that to you again. Much of this powerlessness that the church is experiencing today is directly connected to the church's ignorance on the way that God has made for the power to flow. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. But guess what? If the message of the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't being preached, if people aren't seeking the gift of the Father that he has promised, if they're not actively pursuing that which will transform them, then there will be no power from on high. We will have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. How does it deny the power thereof? By not seeking the basic fundamental truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just embracing and accepting what makes us feel good. Anyway, Pentecost made a way for us to be endued with power. Pentecost made a way for us to have access to the supernatural. You know what, man? If you want to walk in the supernatural ability of God, you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. You want to walk in the supernatural power of God? You want to prophesy? You want to give words of knowledge to people? You want to have the gift of tongues? You want to be able to discern spirits? You want to be able to have healings take place? You want that? Lift up your hand. Listen, the doorway to the supernatural is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit it opens up this place for you and I to go and live life out of, where now the supernatural life and power and ability of God flow through us. Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power. Somebody shout out power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Somebody shout out witnesses. That word power in Greek literally is the Greek word dunamis, which this is what it means. It's not talking about strength. No, it's where we get our word dynamite from. Because dynamite is an expression to how quick dunamis power works. I'm going to say that again. When you light the fuse of a stick of dynamite, what happens? Kapow! In an instant, it just explodes. Dunamis power is likened to dynamite because it comes that quick. Dunamis in Greek literally means miraculous power. Everybody say miraculous. So we're not talking about physical strength. We're not talking about willpower. We're not talking about the strength to endure. We're talking about miraculous power, explosive in nature. And the implication in the Greek is that it literally means workers of miracles. I'm going to say that to you again. It literally in Greek implies workers of miracles. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What does that mean? You will receive the empowerment, the ability, the resource to be miracle workers. Was Jesus a miracle worker? Did Jesus, come on, church, did Jesus work miracles? Are you a Christ follower? Are you a little Jesus? Oh, we are the body of Christ, the head who fills them thereof. We are his body. If he was a miracle worker, we shall be miracle workers, glory to God. So we know that that's what that word means. And the effects of Pentecost is now we don't just preach the gospel, we demonstrate the gospel. I want to say that again. The earth as we know it is filled with churches and preachers who preach the gospel. But I sense this churning, this anticipation of the Holy Ghost, calling churches and people as individuals, believers, men and women alike, to rise above a place of merely speaking the gospel and come into a place where you demonstrate the gospel.
Amen.
I want to say that again. In my spirit, I sense the Holy Spirit calling us up from what I would call shallow living into a place where we don't merely preach the gospel, Jesus died, Jesus saves, Jesus is coming again, but we and Jesus heals. We preach that, don't we? We tell people that Jesus heals. We tell people that Jesus delivers. We tell people that Jesus, you know, pushes back the darkness, but the Holy Spirit's saying you can rise to a place where you demonstrate the gospel. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, when I came to you, I didn't come like many other preachers do, preaching pretty sermons. I came with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and his power. You know what the Corinthian church said about Paul? They insulted Paul. They said, well, in his letters, he seems pretty intelligent. But face to face, he's nothing special at all in what he has to say. Paul said, that's why I didn't come to you with fancy speech. I came to you with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
I prayed for napkins and they healed people. That's what Paul said. I didn't preach sermons to you. I laid my hands on napkins and told you to take them home to your sick family members so they could be healed, and they were. That's the way Paul preached the gospel. The demonstration of the gospel. The effects of Pentecost, where we can live the life of Christ. Not just teach about the life of Christ, but that we can actually live the life of Christ. How many of you have heard all kinds of teachings on the life of Christ? On how we should have humility, on how we should love one another, on how we should live free from sin. You're not going to have much chance doing any of that without the power of Pentecost in your life. I'm not the bearer of bad news, but I am the preacher of truth. Until Pentecost comes into your life, you're going to have very little success at doing any of those things. You know what I always liken this message to? I've been fortunate enough and blessed beyond measure for my age to have been part of a ministry for well over 10 years now that reaches out to drug addicted and alcoholic people and people with all type of life controlling issues, because that's where I came from. I was a drug addict that the power of God and the message of the cross and the ministry of the Holy Spirit set free. Amen. But what I have found to be across the board true, it doesn't matter if you agree with me, you can be wrong if you want to. I know what I'm saying is right. Amen. I've had over 10 years of studying, just observing in the lives of people who are deeply, deeply enslaved by sin. The ones that get free and really make it and really walk in freedom are the ones who get baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They're the ones who talk in tongues. They're the ones who get endued with power. I'm not saying that it's impossible for somebody to get saved or to maybe even get free from drug or alcoholism without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But for every 10 people that you could name, I could name you 100 who still stayed in bondage to all different kinds of things. But the ones who got free and really got free and walked in freedom and walked in victory were the ones who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's a fact. And let me just say this. If you don't believe what I'm saying, from this day forward, you mark what I said and observe for yourself. Observe for yourself the people who find victory and walk in victory. I'm not talking about getting free from cigarettes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about victory in life. Amen. They're the people who get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's a fact.
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so very important. And you know, I don't know why we have allowed this to become such a divisive topic. It's the topic that will change your life.
Amen.
Let's throw up that next slide if you would. That's what the word witness, it literally means the word martyr. And you will be my witnesses. How many of you knew when you signed up to be a Christian, you signed up to be a martyr?
Amen.
You signed up to lay down your life for the cross. The effects of Pentecost were no more following the crowd. You know, it's so awesome when you read the account of Peter. He was a guy who followed the crowd after Jesus was arrested. He blended in with the crowd. How many of you know a lot of Christians who blend in with the crowd? They're Christians on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, they're just like everybody else. How many of you would say that most Christians that you know fall into that category? I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm simply saying they need to be delivered. How many of you would say that there's a lot of Christians that follow Jesus at a distance? How many of you would say that there's a lot of Christians today who have a lack of commitment? How many of you would say that the body of Christ as a whole needs to have a fire set down in their heart?
Amen.
Glory to God. The effects of Pentecost were people who followed Jesus in the crowd no longer followed the crowd anymore. The same guy who was following the crowd stood up after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and said, "Men of Israel, listen. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We're not drunk as you suppose. This is prophecy being fulfilled. This is the Holy Spirit that you're witnessing." Oh, he stood in boldness and courage. He didn't follow the crowd no more. He didn't follow at a distance. He became the head of the church, the leader of the church. He became one of the pillars. He became one of the organizers of this faith that we have. He didn't have a lack of commitment. Remember what happened after Peter heard the cock crow. He denied Christ three times, and then the rooster crowed. What happened? He went back to fishing. Went back to what God had called him out of. How many people do you know like that? Raise your hand if you know people like that. Living for God one day, doing everything they know how to do for God one day, and then the next day they go back to what God called them out of. Just because there's, listen, the power, of, and I'll tell you something. That is a depressing lifestyle. That is a depressing lifestyle. But the power of Pentecost will change that forever. Peter, who went back to fishing after he denied Jesus three times, he died for Jesus after Pentecost. He gave his life for Jesus. And when they went to crucify Peter on the cross, you know what Peter said? I'm not worthy to die the same death that my Savior died. Hang me upside down. Hang me upside down. There was a fire that was set in Peter's heart after Pentecost. We need a fire to be set in our hearts today. I said, we need a fire to be set in our hearts today. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 says, I have come. This is Jesus speaking. I have come to bring fire on the earth. Did you hear that? Jesus said, the reason that I have come is to bring fire on the earth. John the Baptist said concerning Jesus, there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to tie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And now Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on this earth. And I wish that the earth was ready for it, but the earth was not ready for it at that time. But over the course of a few years, the time came in which God said, now is the time. And the passion of the Christ took place, and he died. He rose from the dead. He talked to men and women for the period of 40 days. He ascended on high, and then the promise of the Holy Spirit was released. And when the Holy Spirit came, what came to rest on each of the men? Tongues of cloven fire. We must have an encounter with his fiery presence. Glory to God. I'm going to say that again. Every person listening to this message needs to know we need to have an encounter with the fiery presence of God. The fiery presence of God. It is what will change the course of your life forever. The fiery presence of God will change the course of your life. It will separate you from a life of dead works. How many of you are tired of just dead works? Pointless Christianity. Meaningless Christianity. How many of you are ready for to be a fire starter? How many of you are really ready for something more? That's the power of Pentecost. It will encourage you to go another way. It will compel you to forsake everything else. It will keep you pursuing his presence. No doubt about it, we need another Pentecost. Let me describe to you some things about church as we know it. There seems to be a lack of passion in people's praise nowadays. A lack of passion in people's praise. There's little excitement in church pews anymore. How many of you remember when church was the place to be? You went to church on Sunday night because there was no better place in town to be on a Sunday night.
Right.
Well, them days are gone. You went to church on Sunday morning because there was nothing more exciting than church on Sunday morning. The excitement that once filled churches is waning to near nothingness. We've lost our motivation to reach lost people. Many times we're too comfortable with the sin in our own lives. Holy living, and this is so true, it makes me want to just fall down and cry right now. Holy living has been exchanged for worldliness. Church is so stinking worldly, we wouldn't know holiness if it reached out and slapped us across the face. Think we're holy when we're living like a bunch of heathens. Surrender to God has been replaced with great, great compromise. Humility has been crowded out by all types of excuses. Friend, we need another Pentecost. I'm going to say that again. The church is in a desperate need for the fire of heaven to fall. Nate, can you throw up that next slide? Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom Everybody say, this gospel. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel that Jesus is referring to has entailment and involvement to the gospel, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to Pentecost, the gospel of this kingdom. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it... This is another one of those verses, like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. This is another one of these verses that we have really never really fully understood. We've thought that the gift of God was grace, when really in that verse, the gift of God is the faith that God gives. Now in this verse, we read, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And we start to think about strange things here. But what the gospel is, what does gospel mean? Who knows what the word gospel means? The word gospel means good news. So we could read that verse this way. For I'm not ashamed of the good news because it, the good news is the power of God. I'm going to say that to you again. What is the good news? The good news is not just that Jesus died on the cross. The good news is not just that he bled so that you could be forgiven. The good news is the power of God. I said the good news is the power of God. The best news that you'll ever hear, the best news that could ever be preached, the best gospel that could ever be proclaimed is the power of God. That God is stronger than sin. That God is stronger than death. That God is stronger than cancer. That God is stronger than any temptation. That God is greater than any mountain. That God is bigger than any sickness. That there's nothing too hard for God. There's no promise that God has ever made that he didn't fulfill. The good news is the power of God. He's more powerful than Satan. He's stronger than sin. He can overcome in your life what you cannot overcome. The good news is the power of God. Hallelujah. We're not living by our own strength anymore. We're not living through our own understanding of things anymore. I don't have to live by Richard's power anymore. I get to live by the power of God. Hallelujah. That's the good news. You never have to walk through anything by yourself again. You walk through it with the power of God. You never have to face any challenge on your own anymore. You face it with the power of God. You don't have to figure out a way to find joy anymore. You face every trying circumstance with the power of God. That's the good news. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it. What is the it? The message of the cross. The message of the cross is the power of God. The message of the cross is not that somebody died. The message of the cross is not that somebody went into the tomb. The message of the cross is the power of God. That God took a dead man and raised him to life. That God took a sinless man and made him to be sin. That God took that man's righteousness and placed it up. Only God can do that. Only God can take another man's righteousness and impute it to us. Only God can take another man's sin and impute it to a righteous man. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can call us. Only God can revive us. Only God can save us. And that's the message of the cross. It's not a message of death. It's not a message of sacrifice. It's a message of power. Hallelujah. The power of God. And that power came at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. And what seemed to be tongues of cloven fire came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled. Somebody shout out all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. As the Spirit gave them the utterance, they began to experience the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. A transforming power. As I said before, the good news is more than God loves you. How many of you know we preach that real well? We've mastered that sermon. Good night. Don't you think it's time to move on to bigger and better things? I want to say that to you again. Thank God for the message that God loves you. How many stinking times does a person need to be told that God loves them? Are you convinced yet that God loves you? If you're not convinced, stand up. I'll convince you in 30 seconds that God loves you. It's time for us to move on to deeper things. Move on to things that can really impact us, that can really change us. The gospel, the good news, is more than Jesus died for your sins. How many of you have been hearing that sermon preached for 50 years? Raise your hand if you've heard that sermon preached over and over and over again for 50 years. It's time to hear about the power of God. The gospel is more than you can be forgiven or you can go to heaven when you die or you know what, do something good and feed hungry children and take care of widows. You know, that's all part of the gospel. And please, I'm not minimizing any of that. I'm simply saying that the gospel is much more than that. And the reason that so many people are living such powerless lives is because the message that will really change your life is never preached. The gospel is the power of God. Would you stand up on your feet? German, is German in here today? There he is right there. Bow your heads and close your eyes if you would, please. It wouldn't be right to preach a message like this and not give people the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How wrong it would be to preach that Jesus saves and then not give people an opportunity to get saved. And let me tell you, that happens all over the world. Salvation is preached and people aren't given an opportunity to get saved. They don't know what they need to do to get saved. Understand that after Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, the crowd said, "What must we do to be saved?" They had no clue what was required. This idea that you just preach the gospel and those that get it will fill out a card and turn it in and let you know they got it, that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. What must we do to be saved? Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and seasons of refreshing will come upon you." If you're here today, and if you would say, "Pastor Richard, I am ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit," I want you to lift up your hand right now. Ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. No more living. And please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. Thank God you're saved. Thank God you're saved. Thank God you're saved. But there's more. Jesus wasn't even satisfied with men being saved. That's why he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you've received the gift that you've heard me speak of." He wanted them to be enclosed with power from on high. If you're here today and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come down here to the front right now.